As we all know, tomorrow is Shiva Asar b'Tammuz, or as it's described in the Tanakh, Som Harevi'i, the fast of the fourth month. So this being the fourth month of the year, starting from Nisan. In the Tanakh, we have only a couple of names. Three months that actually are mentioned by name, at least in the earlier part of the Tanakh, by a Hebrew name. All the names that we have for the months that we use nowadays are all of Babylonian origin. And this is entirely by the way, what I'm saying now, but I personally prefer referring to the months as they're referred to in the Torah and in the Nevi'im, almost without exception, which is by numbers. In other words, just like the days of the week, right? The days of the week, according to the Torah, are referred to as Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, etc. You don't have any other name for the days of the week. And there's a very powerful reason for that, because in most other cultures, the days of the week, as the months of the year, etc., are all related to terms involved in some way with Avodah Zarah. Right, for instance, this month, Tammuz, is the name of a Babylonian god, if you want to know. Or even if you don't want to know, it still happens to be the truth. So there's nothing terribly attractive about the name, to be frank. But that's another discussion. In other words, what terms we should use for the month, etc. But anyhow, in principle, the days of the week are referred to in the Torah and in all Jewish sources by numbers, and so also the months of the year. So the fast day beginning tomorrow is also known generally as the beginning of a period known as the 3 weeks. Now most people, not having looked into the sources apparently, are quite convinced that the concept of the 3 weeks is at the very least midrabanan, if not more than that. But in fact, it's not so. Hazal never heard of a concept called 3 weeks. In fact, neither up to the present time, essentially, have the Sfaradim or the Temanim heard of such a concept. What we find in the Mishnah is as follows. The Mishnah, this is in the Talmud Bavli, it appears in the Mishnah, Perek Revi'i of Masechet Ta'aniyot or Ta'anif. As the Mishnah is organized here in the usual printed version of the Talmud Bavli, it's Daf Kaf Wel Amud Aleph. The bottom, the Mishnah states, Hamisha Devarim Ir'u Et Avotenu B'Shiv'a Asar B'Tammuz. Five things happened on the 17th of Tammuz, which is explaining why this is a day of mourning, and five things occurred with Hamisha B'Tish'a B'Av on the 9th of Av. So here in the Mishnah, these two fast days are mentioned: the fast of the Revi'i of the fourth month, and the fast day of the fifth month, which is the month of Av. And then the Mishnah continues. This is on Daf Kaf Waw Amud Beth. The Mishnah continues and says, "Misha nichnas av lema'atim besimcha." When, from the beginning of the month of Av, we are instructed to lema'at besimcha. Lema'at besimcha is a general and somewhat vague term, which means to essentially act in a somewhat mournful and in a mournful and somewhat staid manner, not the way we behave usually most of the year. The Talmud gives examples of specific examples, which we will mention presently, of how in fact we are mema'it basimcha. But this begins from the beginning of Av. Nothing is mentioned at all about a period of time which connects the 17th of Tammuz to the beginning of Av, or up till Tisha B'Av, which is a period, as we know, of 3 weeks. Furthermore, the Mishnah continues and says, Shabbat Shahal Tisha B'Av Lioth B'Thocha, the week of Tisha B'Av, during which Tisha B'Av falls, Asur min Saper u'milechabes. During that week, we are told that it's Asur to cut one's hair, to shave, etc. U'milechabes, or to wash, to do laundry, to wash clothing, or to wear freshly laundered clothing. U'vahamishi mutarim yipane kevod ha-Shabbat. But on Thursday, it is permitted to do so, because of the approaching Shabbat. And Rashi explains, "Bahamishi mutarim im hal tisha b'av b'erev Shabbat." In other words, if tisha b'av falls on a Friday, which is mamash erev Shabbat, so we don't do the usual things that we do to prepare for Shabbat on Friday, such as washing clothes or getting a haircut or trimming our beards or what have you. We do these things on Thursday, which is Erev Tisha B'Av. So Rashi says, Im hal Tisha B'Av be'erev Shabbat, which, by the way, doesn't happen at the present time because of the calendar as we have it today, the fixed calendar, Tisha B'Av never falls on a Friday. Mutarim lechabes b'hamishi. It's mutar to do these things on Thursday. Uchashahal Tisha B'Av b'rivi'i b'Shabbat. Another proof of what we just said, that we don't have other names for the days of the week. So Rashi says, when the Tisha B'Av falls b'rivi'i b'Shabbat, on the fourth day of the week, la yisterech lemithne, it's not necessary to tell us that we may do so. De'mutarim k'de'amrenan b'gemara lo shanu ela lefano. In other words, Rashi is explaining as follows. The Gemara goes on to explain later that the Isur of the week during which Tisha B'Av falls applies only from the beginning of that week, from Sunday, and up until Tisha B'Av, inclusive. So if Tisha B'Av is on Monday, then that period actually lasts only 2 days. If it's on Sunday, there is no Shavuot Shehal, there's no Shabbat Shehal, Tisha B'Av Liyot B'Tochah, really, it is just the Sunday itself. If it's on Monday, it's 2 days. If it's Tuesday, it's 3 days, etc. The longest it can be, in theory, is, it could be if at the present time, the longest it could be is from Sunday to Thursday. When the calendar is not fixed, as it is at present, then it can also work out that Tisha B'Av will be on a Friday, in which case you have six days of the week, which is Shabbat Shavua Shehalbo, Shabbat Shehaliyoth Tisha B'Av B'Tocho, in which case the Mishnah tells us that we may wash and cut our hair and trim our beards, etc., lichvot Shabbat, even though it's Erev, mamash Erev Tisha B'Av. Because on Friday, which will be Erev Shabbat, it will be Tisha B'Av mamash. So we bring it forward a day. If, however, Tisha B'Av falls on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, there's no issue, because once Tisha B'Av is over, the rest of whatever's left of the week is now mutar. Anyhow, right? So if it's on Tuesday, so Tisha B'Av is on Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are the 3 days where these Isurim apply, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday no longer apply. So it's as like any other week. But this is a very important point, because it from this we understand that the Kavod of Shabbat overrides the Tzom and the Aveluth of Tisha B'Av and the week of Tisha B'Av. If we see that Erev Tisha B'Av, we're told we can bathe. Vada we can bathe, as I'll mention in a moment. Chazal didn't prohibit bathing except for the day of Tisha B'Av itself. If we can bathe, we can wash clothing, we can get a haircut, etc. Erev Tisha B'Av Mamash, which is a day when we have the Se'ulah Mafseket, which is a mournful meal, which we'll speak about in a moment also, then we see that Shabbat overrides Tisha B'Av. And we also know another fact, that if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbat, which it can, then it's put off till Sunday, correct? We don't fast on Shabbat. The only day of the year that we fast on Shabbat is if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbat. But any other fast day which falls on Shabbat is put off till the following day. So from both these simple, plain halachic facts, we understand that Shabbat overrides Tisha B'Av. Kal v'chomer, it overrides a concept that Chazal never even heard of called the 3 weeks. My point is as follows, that according to the Ashkenazi minhag, as we will read it in a moment from the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur, according to the Ashkenazi minhag of not cutting one's hair, for example, or trimming one's beard for 3 weeks, obviously in the space of 3 weeks you have Shabbat more than once, there's a very simple and obvious problem, at least so it seems to me, and I've never understood how one could approach this matter differently. This minhag seems to be saying that the morning of the 3 week period overrides Kavod Shabbat, and you can't, for instance, shave, trim your beard, have a haircut Lichvod Shabbat during that 3 week period on Friday, shall we say, right? So, for example, this week, tomorrow is Thursday, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, we have a fast day. According to the Ashkenazi minhag, the 3 week period begins. That means the following day, Friday, which is Erev Shabbat, even if a person's hair he's due for a haircut, right? Or his beard could do with a trim in order to look more respectable. Lichvot Shabbat, and normally that's definitely without a doubt a miswa to do so. As I'll read to you from the Rambam in a moment. Nevertheless, according to the Ashkenazi minhag, we are told that he's not supposed to do so. And this is very strange. It contradicts the explicit statement of the Mishnah and the well-known fact that the fast days themselves are put off till after Shabbat, and that even the week of Tisha B'Av itself does not override the Isur or the aveluth of that week or the day of Tisha B'Av itself. So how can it be that we have a minhag that seems to plainly indicate that Kavod Shabbat is somehow put on hold for two or three Shabbatoth? Seems rather strange. I've never been able to discover any explanation why this should be so. To me it seems that the only possible explanation is as follows, that in earlier times, shall we say, where this minhag grew up in Germany, apparently in the Middle Ages, people did not trim their beards. Jews did not trim their beards every day. Probably not every week. Apparently, also, most people don't get their hair cut once a week. That even today, that's also true. And therefore, a 3 week period of not cutting one's hair or trimming one's beard, for example, was not perhaps so noticeable, didn't stand out as much. Whereas, if you take either a person today, I'm not saying only this is only the case today, it could well have been the case also in earlier generations, but if you take the case today of a person who shaves, let's for argument's sake, he uses an electric shaver. and he shaves his whole beard every day, or every 2 days. But that he does so Erev Shabbat, Lichlos Shabbat, right? Because if he doesn't do so, then he's really he's not respecting Shabbat Bichlal, and that's called Likanes L'Shabbat Kishuhu Menuel, which is not something which is proper at all. So obviously a person who shaves regularly, it's very noticeable after a day or so, a day or two, or certainly three or four, that he's in some kind of mourning period. It's not something which one can hide. Where if one has a beard which one trims, for argument's sake, every 2, 3, 4 months, then maybe 3 weeks you can get away with 3 weeks without really sticking out and being an obvious lack of Kavod Shabbat. Even if we make that excuse regarding beards, it's not clear that it always also applies to a man cutting his hair. Some people get their hair cut every 3 weeks, shall we say, some 4, some more, some less. By that point, at least, a person begins to look fairly scruffy. So it's not a simple matter at all to explain how this Minhag Ashkenazi got off the ground in the first place. Bedohak, as we say, which means if we really go out on a limb in order to try and explain this Minhag, this practice, all we can say is that perhaps in earlier times it was somehow more acceptable because it was less noticeable. Today it seems to me quite clear that this involves an isur of this minhag involves an isur of a lack of kavod Shabbat. Why do I say there's an isur? Let me quote the Rambam to you. Rambam says in Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Shaloshim, Perek Lamed, Arba'a Devarim Ne'emru B'Shabbat, Shenayim B'Torah, Shenayim Midivrei Soferim. Then he goes on, one of the psukim he quotes is from Yishayahu, Perek Nunahet, V'Karathar HaShabbat Oner, Likdosh Adonai Mechubad. That Shabbat should be Mechubad. Ezehu Kibud, what is considered the minimal requirement for Kavod Shabbat, זה שאמרו חכמים שמסווה על אדם לרחוס פנו ידו ורגלו בהמין בערב שבת, that a person at the very least should wash his hands, face and feet, as was customary in those times, with hot water, בערב שבת. Of course, taking a bathing altogether is preferable, but even if that's not possible for whatever reason, and keep in mind people didn't have indoor plumbing, etc. in those days, so sometimes it wasn't possible. At the very least, one should do that. מפני כבוד השבת ומתעטף בסיסיף ויושב בכובד ראש ומייחל להגבלת פני השבת כמו שהוא יוסה לקראת המלך, as a person would do if he were going off to meet the king. So a person has to bathe at least in a minimal way. Again, this is just the minimum. Obviously bathing regularly in general, and certainly lichvot Shabbat, bathing one's entire body in hot water is normal and desirable. The Rambam also writes this elsewhere. Rambam writes in lichvot de'ot perek dalel alechat tel zayin derech harechisa. Keep in mind, the Rambam is writing in the Middle Ages. Sheikanes adam lamerhas meshivay yamim meshivay yamim. The norm is to go to the bathhouse. In a normal town, one would have a bathhouse. Wherever, public bathhouse, the normal thing to do, says the Rambam, is to go there once every 7 days. And obviously Jews chose Erev Shabbat as the day they would do this. So that's the norm. It's not a halakha, but that's the normal way of things, says the Rambam. The halakha is that one has to, even if that's not possible, at least wash one's hands, face and feet in hot water and wrap himself up in a talith and prepare for the Shabbat. Kemoshu yoseh likrat hamelech. Now it goes without saying that a person going to meet the king or the president or what have you, or even just going for a job interview, is not going to show up with a 3-day growth of beard, looking like he just left a prisoner of war camp or something of the like, and in the Vietnamese jungle. And that's exactly how a person more or less looks. A person who shaves regularly, he looks after a few days. Kal v'chomer, the Rambam goes on to say, in Halacha Gimel, this is back in Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Lamed Halacha Gimel, u'mikavod ha-shabbat she'ilbash kesuf nekiyah, that one should wear clean, freshly laundered clothing for Shabbat, v'lo yeh malbush ha-hol kemalbush ha-shabbat, and that one should have different clothing for Shabbat than for the rest of the week. This was also the norm amongst Jews always, even when people were relatively poor, which was not infrequent in different periods of history. Most Jews would have at least one set of clothing for during the week, or two, so they could switch and wash one and wear one, and have a set of clothing for Shabbat and Yom Tov. So the Rambam says, on Shabbat and Yom Tov, one wears, he doesn't say Yom Tov, but he says elsewhere about Yom Tov as well, that one wears on Shabbat different clothing. If one doesn't have different clothing for Shabbat, says the Rambam, then you're supposed to wear your clothing in a different way somehow. It doesn't really work, perhaps, with the kind of clothes we have today, but in those days you could organize the garments in such a way they would look different from during the week. Where Ezra Tiken and Ezra Sofer, 2,500 years ago, approximately, was metaken, sheyu ha'am mechabesim b'hamishi, that people should wash clothes on Thursday, mipenekevod ha-shabbat, because of the approaching Shabbat, so they should have clean clothes for Shabbat. So we see clearly the spirit of the law, the spirit of the halacha, is that Shabbat should be honored and preparation should be made lichol Shabbat, and that one should not enter Shabbat looking scruffy or unkempt, etc. It's interesting to note that on top of this minhag amongst the Ashkenazim of in Europe, of not cutting hair, trimming beard, etc., for 3 weeks, the standard Ashkenazi minhag in Europe, with the exception of the city of Vilna in the last 250 or 200 years, was not to wear Shabbat clothes on Shabbat during the 3 weeks also. Today in Eretz Yisrael, this minhag is, Baruch Hashem, ceased to exist and has passed into history. I think only once did I see in a certain shul here in this neighborhood many, many years ago, well over 20 years ago, I suspect it was from Chutz Laretz, where some many Ashkenazim still practice this minhag. He walked into shul on Lel Shabbat and he was clearly not wearing Shabbat clothes. And he looked very non-Shabbistic, right? And that's exactly what the Ashkenazi minhag was. Again, another indication, another proof that the Ashkenazi approach was somehow that Shabbat is overridden because of this period of mourning, which is not even midrabanan, but entirely based on minhag, which I find very strange. Why did I say in Vilna was different? Because the Gaon Mivilna, Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mivilna Zitzel, also understood, obviously, that this minhag was completely had come out of hand completely, was against halacha, and he was opposed to this minhag, and he made it known that he was opposed. So slowly, over a period of time, more and more people in Vilna began to wear again Shabbat clothes on Shabbat, for Erev Shabbat. This is only in Vilna. Here in Eretz Yisrael, because it was the first Ashkenazim who came here approximately 200 years ago, were some of his Talmidim. And Talmidei, they came here and they simply acted upon this opinion of the Gra, so it became accepted even amongst Ashkenazim here in Eretz Yisrael to behave in this way. So this minhag in Eretz Yisrael was thankfully forgotten. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you will find it. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, in Orach Chaim Siman, Tau Kof Nun Aleph. I'll read a few things from this siman, just to show you how extreme the Ashkenazi minhag is. It says in Seif Beth, Shulchan Aruch writes, Mirosh Chodesh Ad HaTa'anit, from Rosh Chodesh Av till the Ta'anit, V'ma'atim B'masal U'matan V'minyan Shel Simcha. By the way, this is an interesting point, which I'll just mention very briefly. whether the day of Rosh Chodesh itself is included in this period of Rosh from Rosh Chodesh till the Ta'anith, till Tisha B'Av, is not at all clear, because Rosh Chodesh itself, after all, is a special day. It has a special status, min haTorah. Kavod Rosh Chodesh is min haTorah, says in the Gemara. So this is why many posekim, including the Hida and the Admor Mimunkach and many and the Shiurei Knesset HaGadola, there's a whole list of posekim who write that, for instance, even those who do not eat meat for those 9 days, that on Rosh Chodesh one may do so, for example. So you see that they understood that, and they actually, not only may they do so, they themselves say that they themselves behave in such a way, they actually do eat meat on Rosh Chodesh. So we see that Rosh Chodesh was considered to be a day of a different status. It's also mashma from the Taz, by the way. This is so. Even it's not mefurash, but it's mashma. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Mirosh Chodesh ala ta'anif ma'atim masal matan uvevinyan she simha. In other words, different kinds of activities which tend to cause people to be in a buoyant spirit. I won't go into all the details, but just one example we'll mention. It was very often the case in those days that when a man's son was about to get married, he just added on a room to the house, sort of like a lean-to, you know, room was added onto the family home, and that's called Bet Hatanuf Livno. And that's obviously a happy occasion, and so building, the actual building of such a room for one's son who's about to get married is something which is associated with rejoicing and happiness, and not something to be done, therefore, during this period. That's an example of Mema'atim B'Simcha, that what the Mishnah says, that from Rosh Chodesh we do not act or do certain things which we otherwise would normally do, which involve some kind of simcha, even though it's a low level of simcha. Furthermore, one doesn't get married during this period, correct? That's obviously a happy event, marriage. And so the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ve'en nosseim noshim, ve'en osim seudat erusin." During this period of from Rosh Chodesh till Tisha B'Av, one doesn't get married, or doesn't have a festive meal because of getting engaged. And then the Rama adds, here he's informing us of the Ashkenazi minhag. The Rama adds, "V'na'arim lahamir she'en nosim miyudzayim b'tamuz ve'elach ad ha Tisha B'Av." So the Ashkenazi minhag is not to get married for 3 weeks. So we see even getting married, according to the Shulchan Aruch, which is in no way a chidush of the Shulchan Aruch, simply based on what we see in the Mishnah, in the Talmud, etc. Marriages are not to be done from the beginning of Av till after Tisha B'Av, but that's altogether, at the most, 9 days, 10 days. Not a very long period of mourning. 3 weeks is already a much more considerable length of time. But and the Ashkenazim extended this Isur of the Ma'atim B'Simcha, which the Mishnah speaks of as beginning in the month of Av, they extended it back in time to Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. That's one example. Another example is, another thing that Mishnah mentioned that we read before was washing clothes, which in those days at least was, that itself, the washing of clothes, even without wearing them, was a happy event. It was a special day. And wearing freshly laundered clothes was also a special event. Now this is mentioned in the Mishnah as being asur during the week of Tisha B'Av only. So again, at the most, we're talking about a few days. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Seif Gimel. The Rama adds, again, to tell us of the Ashkenazi minhag, he says, "V'anu no'arim lahmir b'chol zeh mitachilat Rosh Chodesh ad ha'arat Tanit." So this is, we extend this from Rosh Chodesh till after the Tanit. So we're talking about 10 days instead of a few days, 2, 3, 4 days. We're talking about 10 days. Seif Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch writes, referring to both these isurim mentioned in the Mishnah that one doesn't do during the week of Tisha B'Av, which was l'saper u'lechabes, cutting one's hair, trimming one's hair and beard, etc., and washing clothing. This is, we said, a surah only the week of Tisha B'Av, and we said the Ashkenazim, the minhag was not to do so from Rosh Chodesh. That's regarding washing, but regarding cutting hair, says the Rama, Aval tisporeth no'arim lachmir miyuzayin b'tamuz. Our minhag is to extend this period of not cutting one's hair, etc., for 3 weeks from Yudzayin b'Tamuz. So in every respect, no matter which detail one looks at, we see the Ashkenazim for different reasons, which one could go into at length, but I'm not going to do that now. And some of it is also based on speculation, because it's not entirely clear why there was so mahmir in all these things. But we see clearly the Ashkenazim were very mahmir in all these aspects, all these halachot of mourning. And one might say, and one might be correct, that alright, so the minhag was to mahmir, what's wrong with that? So as I said already before, one thing at least that's wrong apparently with this is that not cutting one's hair and trimming one's beard for 3 weeks can definitely run up against the inyan of Kibbutz Shabbat. So I wonder about this minhag, why it was adopted in such a fashion. Another thing I think that should be mentioned, that is reasonable to point out, is that Hazal obviously knew more about the Hurban and the terrible calamities that had befallen the Jewish people at that time, 2,000 years ago. And yet we see they did not feel it proper or necessary to enact such lengthy periods of mourning. They could have said it's asur to eat meat for 3 weeks. Or they could have said it's asur. In fact, meat, bichlal, was not even mentioned, not even the week of Tisha B'Av. The only time, according to the Mishnah, and according to the Talmud, and according to the essential halakha, as it appears in every book of halakha, the only time that we're told it's asur to eat meat is the Seudah Mafseketh, the Erev Tisha B'Av, the meal before the fast. Only in that meal are we supposed to eat a very simple and plain meal, which does not, without meat and without different more than one cooked dish, etc. So actually eating meat bichlal is not mentioned by Chachamim even as being a, so even the week of Tisha B'Av. It's true that the Rambam does mention certain minhagim already, which are not obviously Ashkenazi minhagim. He says as follows, this is in Hilchot Taniyot Perekeh Halacha Wow. After he mentions Mishi Kanes Avi Ma'atim B'Simcha, and he mentions the week of Tisha B'Av, which are the essential halachot of the Mishnah, then he says, Uchvar Nahagu Yisrael Shelo Lechol Basar B'Shabbat Zo. It's already the general custom of the Jewish people not to eat meat the week of Tisha B'Av. So again, we're talking about a few days, not 9 days. He says the week of Tisha B'Av. Ulo Yikanesu L'Mirchas Al She'Avor HaTa'anith, and not to go to the bathhouse during that week until after the Ta'anith. And he adds, "V'yesh mekumot, there are places shenahu levatel shechita mirosh chodesh ad ha'tanith, where they ban shechita and therefore the eating of meat already from Rosh Chodesh." So the Rambam had heard of such a minhag, he mentions it. But when one juxtaposes these minhagim, especially in the case of eating meat, which not eating meat for 9 days, for some people at least, is a hardship. Comparing this to what Chazal actually did disallow, we see that these are rather stringent and extreme minhagim. Regarding music, which everyone knows, as it were, it's a sword to listen to any music during the 3 weeks and certainly the 9 days and what have you. Well, the story is as follows. Chazal don't speak Chazal did not speak at all about listening to music, for obvious reasons. Music was not something that one played on one's stereo or in the car or something. Music was something was only played live, and it was almost always associated with some joyous occasion, like a wedding or what have you. And seeing that they already told us that from Rosh Chodesh, Ma'atim B'Simcha, that obviously music is not appropriate during that period. Even though one could make the hiluk, one could make the distinction that in those days music was always associated with some joyous occasion, whereas nowadays it's not necessarily so. We today are very used to hearing music and playing music, as we already just mentioned on another occasion, and it doesn't necessarily make us terribly joyous, or doesn't connote any great simha. It's also possible, it's correct to point out, there are different kinds of music. Not all music is necessarily joyous. Some music is, in fact, the opposite. Cause the opposite effect. But at least from Rosh Chodesh, from the beginning of Av till Tisha B'Av, one could definitely say that's within, falls within the purview of the concept of Ma'atim B'Simcha. Whereas 3 weeks not to hear music is not mentioned in any source whatsoever. The first source where this is mentioned is in the Magen Avraham, who was in Aharon, who lived in Europe about 350 years ago, and he says that it seems to me nir'eli, so he says, without bringing any source, because there is no source, he says nir'eli that when it comes to music we should be machmir from Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz. That's the whole, the entire minhag of not hearing music during the 3 weeks is based on this statement of the Magen Avraham. So, as we said before, the whole period of the 3 weeks is not known by Chazal, is not mentioned, and in no place at all, anywhere at all in the writings, the teachings of Chazal, do we find a period of mourning that lasts for 3 weeks. Even though clearly they could have done such a thing, and some may have said they should have done such a thing, but they didn't. To me, this is indicative of the fact that the Chachamim felt that such a period of mourning is too long, too extreme, and therefore they limited the period of mourning to the beginning of Av, and essentially more specifically to the week of Tisha B'Av. We also see another interesting phenomenon. All these periods of mourning and different isurim refer to the hurban, in other words, the destruction of the time of the great revolt against the Romans that began in the year 67 according to the Christian calendar, which was put down in the year 70, and the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, etc., which is a great calamity, of course, and more than that. But it's also correct and appropriate to point out that 60 years approximately later there was the revolt of Bar Kochava against the Romans. There was no longer a Mikdash, but there was a revolt against the Romans, and apart from the fact there was no destruction of the Mikdash simply because there was no Mikdash, the destruction, the bloodshed, etc., the effects on the Jewish people of the Bar Kochava revolt were in fact much more severe than of the Great Revolt 60 years earlier. And yet, the Chachamim of that time did not do what many perhaps would have expected them to do. They did not enact an additional period of mourning at some point during the year to commemorate those events. Apparently, the time of year would be sometime during the period we know as Sfirat HaOmer today. Because apparently that was at least the end of that revolt was around that period, apparently. which is also the historically why Rabbi Akiva, who supported the Bar Kokhba revolt, etc., is connected to that period of time. But Chazal did not mention anything at all about mourning or the same kinds of isurim that apply during the period of Tisha B'Av, should be applied to another period during the year. So we don't see Chazal saying this, even though it was a greater calamity in many ways than the earlier one. To me, this suggests, very forcefully in fact, that the Chachamim intended that all major calamities that befall the Jewish people should be commemorated and mourned during the period of Tisha B'Av. In other words, during the beginning of Av and during the week of Av, that everything should be, as it were, concentrated in that period, and that we should not add more and more periods of mourning during the year, simply because you can't tell a nation to mourn for such extended periods of time. And this, so we see that Chazal behaved in such a way. They did not make such an enactment. They didn't make any new enactments regarding the Bar Kokhba revolt. Regarding Tisha B'Av itself, they never made an enactment regarding a three-week period of mourning, which they apparently considered to be overkill. And everything was concentrated in a very small number, a relatively small number of days. On top of all this, of course, as we have mentioned before, it is my opinion that minhagim, customs that were common, even if they're not halachically problematic, as opposed to some of these minhagim that the Ashkenazi minhagim we've been speaking about this evening, which are halachically problematic. The fact that the Gra considered the minhag of not wearing Shabbat clothes during Erev Shabbat Hazon, in other words, Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, the Gra considered this a problematic minhag, and in fact openly defied this minhag and did otherwise. By the way, it was also common in Europe not to bathe Erev Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, and this also was the Gra was unhappy with, and this minhag also already began to unravel in Europe already before the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael. Before the war, it was already known that many Jews were bathing Erev Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. So even when a minhag is not halachically problematic, as some of these minhagim are, such a minhag at most can obligate those who live in a certain area where the overwhelming majority of Jews are following such a practice, similar to the minhag of Kitniyot on Pesach or what have you. Even if one considers that to be a legitimate minhag, it only obligates those who live in an area where all the Jews are acting in such a way. But when a person leaves that area and moves to a different part of the world where there is no such minhag in place, then there is no halachic mechanism, to the best of my knowledge, that suggests that such a Jew or many Jews, when they move to a different place, a different part of the world, are required to continue with that minhag. In other words, the minhag is a local phenomenon. It's called minhag ha-makom. It doesn't depend on what one's grandfather did. It depends where one lives. If one lives in a community where this is being done, and assuming that it's a legitimate minhag, then it obligates you. But otherwise, if you are no longer there, it doesn't obligate you. This is what we find in the Talmud, the Masechet Pesachim, beginning of the fourth perek. This is also something we've discussed before. There is a claim out there in the Torah world that what I just said now is incorrect. Namely, that's true. What I just said is true regarding individual Jew who picks up and moves, shall we say, from Poland to Eretz Yisrael. But if entire communities, large numbers of Jews, pick up and move from one place to another and continue to maintain the structure of the communal structure that they had before, So in some ways one could say they picked up en masse and moved one place to another. In that case, they are required to follow the minharim they were used to do, following in their former place of residence. Now this is a sevara. What does that mean? This is an idea, a new idea, which is not mentioned in any halachic text, at least up to very recent times. It's basically a newfangled idea, frankly, which has no halachic pedigree. It can't be traced to any authoritative source.